We're almost at the end of Revelation. We're at chapter 22. I'm going to give you an overview and hope it'll help you stay connected to what I'm going to talk about, because it's going to be totally nothing that you've studied, which I know surprises you, right? So here's an outline so you can follow where I'm going. And I really am going somewhere. The outline is God restarts time in chapter 22. God's model, the Garden of Eden, the tabernacle, the city of Jerusalem. God's plan is revealed from Genesis to Revelation. God always has a plan and in hope in His glory. And here are the scriptures that I'm going to base this on, because I don't have time to read them all this morning. So if you want to see the thread, because there's no scripture that's going to be exactly what I'm going to teach, but there are scriptures that imply what I'm going to teach, and this is where I get them from. We start with, obviously, Revelations 21 and 22. Genesis 1. Exodus 25, verse 9. Exodus 40, verse 34. Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And John chapter 14. God restarts time. If this is Genesis, the beginning of time, and this is Revelation, the end of time, I'm proposing that God leaves Revelation. He comes all the way back to Genesis and starts time again. The reason that God restarts time is because God builds off of a pattern, a model. It's what I'm proposing for discussion. Understand, this is just my opinion of what I've studied based on the scriptures that I've given you as examples of God's the way God works. And remember, at the very beginning, we talked about reading Revelation not to understand every symbol, not to understand everything that John was seeing and trying to tell, or even finding a place where that fits, past, present, future, but really to read it to see what God says about Himself, what Jesus says about Himself, and the roles that they are, the roles that they're play in scriptures. So if we look at this and we look at who God is, we can find examples, and I will give you some examples of how God has modeled after something else the things that He brings to the earth. So God restarts time. In Genesis, let's open our Bibles to Genesis. I think in order to understand Revelations 21, we need to go back to Genesis 1. We're not going to go through the whole Bible today, I promise. We're at the end of time, and yet we're at the beginning of time. How can that be? In Revelations chapter 21 and 22, we have the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. They're finally here. God starts time in eternity. This new heaven and this new earth are actually a heavenly pattern of what the Garden of Eden was supposed to be on earth. In order to understand God and Jesus in Revelations chapter 21, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I'll propose this only for a discussion. In Revelations 21 is the start of Genesis 21. So let's just read one day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called a night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. We know that there are 7 days that go consecutively like that, and it always ends with, and there was evening and morning the second day. God starts time with evening and morning. He sets it into place, this order of time. He sets it into place as a dwelling place. God starts time with a sun and a moon at the beginning of time. At the end of time, God starts eternity. There is no sun, no moon. He restarts time, eternity time. But God starts also building a dwelling place. He prepared a dwelling place for the beginning of time and the beginning of his relationship with humanity in Genesis. The Garden of Eden was a prepared place. It was a real place, a dwelling place for God's creativity, a dwelling place for God himself. See, the Bible tells us that God visited Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He came face to face. There was no need for God to have a dwelling place. He dwelt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening. It wasn't set up to be a place where God dwelled separated, but God dwelled face to face. Now, did he live in the Garden of Eden? No, it said he came to visit them in the cool of the evening, but he walked with them. Just like you and I, if I came over to your house, I would visit with you. This is what the model of how God wanted his creation to look like. A place, a prepared place, a place that God had thought through and had made every provision that was ever to be needed by mankind, was prepared for them. There was no need for God to have a tabernacle, a dwelling place, separate from people, because God dwelt with Adam and Eve. God taught them personally, one-on-one at the start of the Garden of Eden. Now we have a problem with sin. Sin enters the earth in this perfect place that God had prepared. It polluted this place, earth. It set up a boundary. It set a separation between God's creation, humanity, his finest work, saved until the last, to be an image created after himself, a prepared place. So God wanted this model that he had to be fulfilled on the earth. And since the beginning of Genesis over here, all the way through to Revelation where we are at, the end time, God has been recalculating how to get this back to the place where I originally designed it. And he will do that in Revelations chapter 21, 22, and 23. When he comes back with a prepared place for his children. The model for the end of time started at the beginning of time. God started by preparing a place. God will end with a prepared place. So as we're looking through scriptures, we should rejoice in the fact that God has a prepared place for you. Whether you get to go home in the rapture, whether you lay down one day and disregard this tent and step into the presence of God, God has a prepared place. And it's all through the scriptures to give us reassurance. God does not pull a surprise. He's telling us at the very beginning, I prepared a place. He's telling us at the very end, I have a prepared place. And I will bring that place just like I brought the place at the beginning for man to be taken care of. I will bring this place for my children to be taken care of. Once sin entered the earth became polluted. God found that he needed, in order to establish what he intended at the very beginning, God veiled himself in various forms. He no longer met face to face. He never walked in the cool of the evening, but he still intended to dwell among men. So he veiled himself in different forms. And one of the first places that he shows that he intends to always dwell with mankind is in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a place where God dwelled. If we turn to Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9, I'll build an argument for this in the fact that God has a model. When he built the tabernacle, just like he had a model when he built the Garden of Eden, he had a model of heaven. He's trying to get heaven. He's trying to get himself pushed down into our lives. And we keep finding ways that pushes God away. Sin pushed God away. God had to find another way to dwell among men. Because sin polluted the earth, he did not want to just leave mankind to his own devise. He had a plan. He had a prepared place. He had a prepared plan. And he wanted to reestablish that. So he reestablishes it with the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 25 in verse 8, he says to Moses, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all of its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." God had a model. And God intends to live among his people. When sin barred him from living among his people, he simply created another way to find a place to dwell among us. And he did that in the Old Testament with the tabernacle. And we know that in the tabernacle, he gave instructions exactly how it was to be built. I argue the discussion point that there's a tabernacle in heaven that God looked at and he modeled the tabernacle on earth after the tabernacle that is already established. in the Holy of Holies, this place where God lives and reigns supremely. In the Holy of Holies, in this place where the priest entered in for the sacrifice, this place where the Shekinah glory came down and dwelled among the people, this place that God prepared so that he could dwell among his people, because he wants to dwell among us. So we have this tabernacle built by Moses according to exact plans that God gave him. We have the Ark of the Covenant in this tabernacle. We have the table of this presence in this tabernacle. The lampstands, the bronze basin, the inner court, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And all the laws that surrounded how this dwelling place was to run, this dwelling place in the order of God was to operate. Because God prepared a place in the beginning of time for man to live in his presence. And man polluted that place by sin, and in that separated himself from God. But God was determined still to live among men. So he built himself a dwelling place in the tabernacle. In Exodus 40, if you'll just flip over. Exodus 40. Verse 14, then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. He dwelt among his people once again. He veiled himself in a Shekinah glory as the cloud settled and filled the temple. God veiled himself in many forms, in the pillar of fire, in the Holy of Holies, and in the New Testament he veils himself in Jesus in the form of a man. God's plan was a perfect place for mankind to dwell, supplied with everything that humanity needed. Plus it was a place that he could dwell with man. It had beauty and perfection. It had rivers flowing. It had trees growing. It had animals of every kind. It had the tree of life. It had a place for man to dwell and for God to dwell with him. At the start of time, at the end of time, when God brings the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, he will dwell once more in our presence, in the fullness of who he is, not veiled in any form, but fully exposed, fully knowledge, the full knowledge of who he is with us, his children. God started time with evening and morning. God started time with a day. But in this new Jerusalem that God is preparing for us, he brings his own light, his son Jesus. He doesn't need a heavenly firmament. He doesn't need stars and moons. He doesn't need suns. He doesn't need galaxies and solar systems. He is all of that, prepared ahead of time to come down and be with us, me and you. We are now at the end of time. We are now at the beginning of time. Once again, God has created a dwelling place, a prepared place for his people. Now time is not morning and evening, or evening and morning. It is eternity. There is no evening or morning. No sun, no moon, because Jesus' presence and his light in him, because of Jesus' presence and the light that is in him, and there is no darkness. The old heaven and the old earth have passed away. The pollution of sin has been totally destroyed. And the new heaven and the new earth are pristine. In the destruction of heaven and earth, God got rid of all sin. And made this new place pristine as he did in the beginning. There's no more pollution of the curse. There's no more weight of sorrow. There's no more tears. There's no more disease. There's no more pain. There's no more death because the former things have passed away. The curse of sin is eliminated. God didn't repair creation. He recreated it for his children to enjoy for eternity. That's me and you. As God walked with Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden, now God is unveiled and no longer far off. We see him as he is. We actually have fellowship with God as himself. And Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, "Now I see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully as I am known." As God made heaven and earth in Genesis, he now remakes heaven and earth new. And he sets his throne up on earth. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," any minute. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem are as real as the model God set up on the earth to point the way to his truth. Jerusalem is a modern city. It's a model city. It sits on the earth today. You have maybe visited it. It's real. God has a model in heaven that is a perfect model that he'll bring with him. Just like he created a dwelling place in the beginning of time, a perfect place. He will bring back with him a perfect place. But this time, the man has been tested and has passed the test on the cross of Calvary. He won. Where Adam failed and allowed pollution of sin and death and the curse into the earth that created, the Bible says that the earth itself groans under the weight of sin. This man has been tested and has passed the test. So when God brings back the model that he's made in heaven, this perfect model, this new heaven, this new earth, this new Jerusalem, it's already been tested and not failed. You and I, whether we dwell with him in eternity in the presence of the Lord through the release of ourselves from this temporal tent, or whether we're caught up in the rapture to meet him in the heavenlies, we're going to dwell in a perfect place that God has prepared and planned. You and I sit in this room today and have our own doubts about, sometimes we may have our own doubts about God's plan. Does God really have a plan? The Bible says that I have a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. And God, as I showed you in the very beginning, that walking out of time, that timetable where it looks like God's following time when really time is following God. History is following the plan of God. This is the plan of God. You and I sitting in this room today, God has a plan for our lives. We're not harum scarum randomly thrown about. God has a plan. It may not, it'll look just a lot of times like it's hidden, like it's veiled, but when we get on the other side of this temporal tent, we'll see God's plan fully and know it fully. And we'll know him fully. And he'll know us fully. He'll be able to reveal to us fully, is how I meant that. He already knows us fully. But he'll be able to reveal past the limitations of who we are. Jesus said it was finished, and it was. the model of the New Jerusalem. We can look at the physical Jerusalem and see a model. But that model, the real city is not the model. The model is in heaven and has just been placed on the earth. God's pushing his presence down into the earth. And that's what he's been trying to do since the beginning of time till the end of time, when he will accomplish that. And he will press himself in with the New Jerusalem, the new earth and the New Jerusalem, to live forever in the presence of God here. God has a plan, and he has a dwelling place. Jesus said, it's finished. The Jerusalem in the earthly Jerusalem has a measurement. It has walls, It's a place. The New Jerusalem also has been measured out. And the reason the Bible is strong on the measuring is to let us know it's a real place. It's a place prepared. It's a prepared place of God. A dwelling place of the full manifestation of the glory of God, prepared for the Lamb's bride, the church. The New Jerusalem is measured out with foundations, with walls, with gates. The model of the current day Jerusalem is also a building, a place on earth. There's no temple needed in the New Jerusalem because Jesus dwells with his bride. The gates are shut because there's no threat. God has a plan before time, after sin, before Calvary, after Jesus' resurrection. Before the church and after the church. Before my salvation and your salvation, God had a plan. After our death, God has a plan. Before the last day. After the end of time. God has a plan, and God's plan is good. As God prepared the Garden of Eden, God has prepared a new place where he will dwell with his children at the close of Revelation. We'll begin a new time, eternity. Jesus said in John 14, 1-4, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you where I am. You know the way to this place where I am going. Each one of us has a prepared place. Not a random place. Not a hopeful place. A place of hope. When you step out of this temporal tent, you will step into the presence of God. You will step into a place that God has thought about and prepared. It won't be a random place. It'll be a prepared place. It won't be a veiled place. It'll be a revealed place where God's presence is completely yours and mine to explore to his fullness. In the book, The Vision of His Glory, and Graham Lotz closes this chapter with this statement. Every person born into the human race, no matter how wealthy, powerful, or knowledgeable he or she becomes, no matter how small or insignificant he or she feels, will ultimately be defeated by death. Death is the great equalizer. But the vision of his glory gives hope to you when you are defeated by death. It gives hope to you because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The vision of his glory gives you hope because it reveals that this world is not your home. That death does not have the final word. That one day your faith will become sight and you will see the gates of pearl swing open wide for you. And then, best of all, you will hear your King say, Welcome home. I've prepared a place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word as you reveal your prepared places for us. Where you prepared a place at the very beginning of time and you started time, evening and morning. Where you prepared a place for yourself to dwell among men in the temple. Where you prepared a place for us in salvation to be eternally united with you as we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And Jesus says he will go and prepare a place for us. And when he goes to prepare a place, he will surely come back for us. And as you have that place prepared in heaven, and as we step out of our mortal tents into eternity, if that be the case, we will dwell in a prepared place in the presence of our Father. And if we are caught up in the end of time, you have a prepared place that you said you will bring with you. It'll be a place where you dwell. And that is our heart's desire, to dwell with you, to hear you say, "Welcome home. I've been preparing a place for you for thousands and thousands of years. Welcome home, my child." We thank you for your powerful message, Lord. We ask you to bless these ladies as they go into their small groups. Amen.